First to Tunisia, which is the leading source of ISIS foreign fighters. And now, according to an extremism monitoring group, ISIS has claimed responsibility for yesterday's attack on the National Bardo Museum in Tunis that left more than 20 dead, including the two attackers and many tourists. Officials haven't confirmed the ISIS claim, but nine people have been arrested. The BBC's Navina Kator is on the steps of the museum. And Navina, you were there when hostages were discovered earlier today.
Two Spanish foreign tourists were found this morning. I understand that one of them is a woman who was pregnant. They were hiding with one of the Tunisian employees of the museum, and they had been too terrified to leave the building. They couldn't believe that the siege was over and nobody had found them before. I understand they have not been injured, but they are severely shaken, so they're being looked after now.
That must have been quite a moment. But what are people who have survived saying about what the gunmen said to them about who their targets are or were?
According to one eyewitness who has been quoted by local media, she was told by one of the gunmen, she is Tunisian, not to worry, that they were looking after foreigners and tourists and not after Tunisians. So that's obviously a very disconcerting message. And it sort of hardens the suggestion that they might have been here to kill foreigners.
Yeah, well, these were people who are arriving from cruise ships on buses, hundreds of them flocking to this museum, which is normally empty. How are Tunisians reacting to that? Because we understand tourism is a pillar of the economy.
Yeah, Tunisians are in an absolute state of shock. I have to stress that the country is not really used to these kind of attacks. The last time civilians and foreigners came under attack is more than a decade ago, and these kind of attacks are not usual in the country, let alone in the capital. And I think it's also important to remember how close this museum, where more than 20 people are now thought to have died, is to the parliament. It's literally in walking distance. People are quite concerned how close people came to this parliament and how little the security services knew about them, especially given that it has now emerged that one of them had been surveilled by the intelligence services here.
Well, but put it more in context for us. We understand the uprising 4 years ago overthrew an autocratic government that clamped down on any freedoms. More recently, a more secular government on the platform of fighting extremism came in. Is there concern, though, that the opening up of freedoms like the freedom of speech may in fact be breeding extremism in Tunisia because of some of that hate speech?
I think that depends a bit on who you speak to. And there are certainly people who say that the opening up of online media and access to Facebook and freedom of speech has encouraged this kind of hate speech that has made it easier for people to be radicalized. Other people argue that the repression of the last 50 years and the fact that there has been no transitional justice here and that the police is perceived to be above the law has meant that many people don't identify with the state. They see people who are important to the state as an enemy. It's very difficult to say. We don't know more about these men. There are accusations that they might have traveled to Iraq. But I think it's really too early to say what exactly motivated these two men to carry out this terrible attack here.
The BBC's Navina Kator in Tunis, in Tunisia. Thank you.
Thank you.